One other thing that I want to bring to you this morning is I'm still looking for some folks who would like to take some in-depth disciple-making classes. Looking to start that this fall. If God's touching your heart about that, please let me know. There's a real need for that, not only in this church, but in every church. Because I believe the command of God is not so much to go. The command is, as you are going, make disciples. And that's not just for those who have the profession of ministry as their vocation. That's for all folks. As you are going, make disciples. And disciples are so much more than just getting people saved. Disciples are so much more than that. One of the things that a disciple needs to know is what this man in this passage needs to know today. A man down on his luck, really put out of all society, and is brought back to a place where he can live the way God wants him to. Listen to this story that comes from the book of Luke. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting to the top of a voice, "What do you want me to do, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gennesarenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This is a hard story. This is a hard story because this man no one wants around. Something's not right with him. They called it demon possession. Something is not right with him, and they have put him out of town. They've chained him up. He lives in the cemetery. And he has lived there for years, seeing no one, talking to no one. It says he hasn't worn clothes for a long time. It says that the demons have possessed him so much that he's able to break the chains. Nobody wants him around. Jesus comes upon him, and he comes up to Jesus and says, "What is it you want with us, Son of Man? You're the Son of God. What is it you want with us?" And the demons beg not to be sent back to the abyss. And Jesus says, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion, because there were many within." They beg. They beg to be sent into the hogs, and when they are, they run off the cliff and drown themselves. Yet another passage on why you shouldn't be eating pork. In the New Testament, unclean spirits, unclean animals run off the cliff. And you see, people saw this happen. The swine herders saw it happen. I like that word. It just always sounds weird to me. Instead of sheep herders, we got swine herders. They saw it happen. They went back to town. They reported what they saw happen. And when the people from the town come back, they find this man sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind, fully clothed. And immediately the people say, "Jesus, will you leave us?" And he does. But yet this man begs. He begs. "Jesus, can I go with you?" He begs. "Can I?" And Jesus says, "No. Go home. Tell them what God has done for you. Go home." Well, the first thing I want to tell you is that mental illness, demon possession, still exists today. It very well could have been that this man was mentally ill, multiple personalities. They didn't know how to diagnose that in their day and age. They called it demon possession. And in a way, yes, it is. But I bring it up talking about mental illness because the church doesn't pay attention to that. We section those people off. And we don't want to interact with them. But yet Jesus does. And I'm well aware of the fact that sometimes people within churches have problems with mental illness. As one who has had a problem with depression most of my life, that's classified as a mental illness. I've told you I have obsessive compulsive disorder. That's classified as a mental illness. My daughter works as a social worker. Sometimes her and I laugh about how many things in their mental illness book she can find me in. You see, we look over that. We don't talk about it. We don't want to talk about it, and we don't want to deal with it. But yet Jesus goes and talks with this man and heals him. That at the end of the story, he's in his right mind. One of the things that this story shows me is that God is more powerful and can bring healing through a number of ways. God, in this case, is more powerful than the demon possession or mental illness of this man. God is more powerful and can bring healing in a number of ways. It can come through prayer. It can come through those who work in that field helping folks, whether it's a counselor, a therapist, a psychiatrist, whether it's medication, whether it's therapy, whether it's treatment. God works through all those things. That is one of the reasons why the people are so scared when they see this man sitting in his right mind. They've never seen this man sitting in his right mind. And now he's in his right mind, and they were scared of the way he was. Now they're scared of Jesus because Jesus is more powerful than what had possession of this man. Jesus is more powerful than that, and they're scared. Please leave us. We couldn't handle the man, and you were able to cure him, and now we don't know what to do. We're more scared of you than we are of the demons. We're afraid of what might happen to us if you stay around here. Believe it or not, I've met people that would rather keep their demons than get rid of them. They would rather keep a hold of the condition they're in rather than come to Jesus and be saved. Not everyone's that way, but I've met people that way. And these people were comfortable as long as this guy was off in the cemetery living by himself. They were comfortable with that. Now he's in his right mind. Now what do we do with that? Will it happen to him again? You see, they don't know. They're scared. But one thing I do know from reading this story, I think with a grateful heart, this man wants nothing more than to follow Jesus. Nothing more. He has an incredibly grateful heart. He knows how the people in town have treated him. Why would he want to go back there? Why would he want to go back amongst people that pushed him out of town? Why would he want to go amongst people that chained him up in the cemetery? Jesus has saved him from mental illness, depression, from demon possession. Jesus has saved him. I want to follow you. Please, let me go with you. And the scripture says that he begged. He begged. And Jesus says, no. I can't imagine how broken that man might have felt at that moment. No. You can't go with me. No. Here is the Savior who has saved him from many years of horror and problems. And he's not allowed to follow him. Jesus will not let him follow, but instructs him instead to return home and tell what God has done for him. Go back to the people that chained you up. Go back to the people that pushed you out of town. Go back to the people that don't want you around and tell them what God has done for you. Wow. If I was that man, I would be going, I don't think I want to. These people have made my life horrible. They didn't do anything to help me. They pushed me out of society. They pushed me out of town. Jesus, why would I go back and talk to them? Why would I go back and share with them? They didn't care about me. They didn't want me around. They didn't know how to deal with me. So, Lord, I don't want to deal with them either. I don't want to go back and tell them anything. They didn't try to save me. Why should I help them? Can you not see the man thinking this? The scripture doesn't report that he said it, but I'm very willing to say that he thought it. Really? You want me to go back to town instead of following you? You saved me. I want to follow you wherever you go. Up to this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has not sent anybody out to tell about him. It's not till later in the Gospel that he sends the disciples out. This is the first time in the Gospel of Luke, the story that Luke tells, that he sends this man back to town. Go tell him. Go speak to him. Go share with him. I can't imagine the struggle that was going on in this man's mind. I know where I grew up. I know who I grew up with. It would be awful difficult for me to go back and talk with just them. I know how some of them treated me. And I'm speaking of my own story, not this man's. I know how my neighbors have acted. I know how the people on the street just down from me haven't been very good people. And Jesus, I can't follow you, but you want me to go talk to them? You see, the biggest problem with churches nowadays is we're not telling people. We got the doors open. We got the lights on. But very rarely do we go back and tell the people what God has done in our lives. Why God has made a difference in our lives. I find very few Christians who know how to tell their testimony. And a testimony only has three parts. And I think every Christian should be able to tell their testimony within 5 minutes. And here's the three parts. What was your life like before you met Jesus Christ? How did you meet Jesus Christ? And what difference has Jesus Christ made in your life since you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Three parts to a testimony. Let me give them to you again. What was your life like before you met Jesus Christ? How did you meet Jesus Christ? What difference has God made in your life since you met Jesus as your Savior? Every Christian should know their story. Every Christian should know how that happened for them. And here's the thing. There are people that are not in church today because they need to hear your story. They need to hear your story. And many of us aren't telling it. You see, this man begged. Jesus, just let me follow you. I just want to go wherever you go. I want to do whatever you do. And I don't want to deal with those people back there. And Jesus said, no. Go back there. No, go tell them what happened to you. No, go tell them how God has made a difference in your life. Now, why is that so important? It's important because the people know his struggles and they need to hear his story. They know where he was. They know that they put him in the graveyard. They know that he was uncontrollable. They know that he very rarely wore clothes. They know that he could break chains. They know that he wasn't in his right mind. Imagine what a difference that would be if he came back to town and spoke to them about what God has done for me. He says, "Will you listen to me? You know where I was, and you know where I lived, and you know how many times you came out and chained me up. And I'm in my right mind now. And I'm in my right mind because Jesus made a difference in my life." You see, I did have an opportunity one time when I was in South Hill that one of the guys that was a closer friend of mine happened to move to a town that was about 20 minutes from me. And he came and had two questions for me. I got to tell you this, at that time I had a full beard, probably a little bit longer than you've ever seen me have it here. And the first thing he asked me was, "How did you move your hair from here to here?" And the second thing he asked me was, "How did you become a minister?" You see, he knew who I was. He knew how I lived. And it gave me an opportunity to tell him the difference that Jesus had made in my life and how God led me to become a minister. I don't know the end of his story. I haven't kept up with him. He hasn't kept up with me. I don't know what difference that might make for him someday, because he heard my story. He knew where I was, and he knew where I had come to. You see, folks, it's the people living around us that need to hear the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. And if we're not telling them, they won't come to Christ. God causes those people to cross your path because God wants you to say something to them. God wants you to tell your story to them. Don't go somewhere else to tell your story. Tell your story to your neighbors. Tell your story to your coworkers. Tell your story to the people that you meet and greet in Walmart. Tell your story to the people you see when you go to the rec center. And just for those of you that want to tell me, "Well, Pastor, I only know people that go to church." It's time for you to be amongst other folks. It's time for you to find some folks that don't go to church. And it's time for you to share your story with them. Jesus says, "Don't go on with me, go back and tell your story." And I'm asking you today, are you going to tell your story? That's what brings people to Christ. When they see what a difference it makes in your life, are you going to tell your story? Are we as a church going to tell our story on how God makes a difference? Are you willing to tell those near you about the change that Jesus has made for us? Are you willing to do that? That's one of the things that a disciple knows how to do. And that's one of the things that the disciple will organize their life so they can do that. That's what it means to be a disciple. When you ask yourself, am I a disciple? Are you telling people about the difference that God has made in your life? If you're not, you need to change that to be a disciple. Jesus says to the man, go back home and tell them everything that God has done for you. Let's pray. Lord, we're fearful to tell. We have great fear to reach out and let others know what Jesus has done for us. But the truth is, you're calling us to do that. Guide us down that road, that we might tell the folks that we meet and greet, that we might spend some time sharing with them about the great change you've made in our lives. Please, help us not to stay silent about what you've done in our lives, that others might come to see you and make a commitment to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.